True Cult with Alex Bonniewell.
Looking for something new to watch? Or maybe something to add to your movie collection? Well, Alex Bonniewell has got you covered with the latest new releases. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Vienna.
Now, Alex, we've got a bit to get through, but one that everyone has been talking about, whether it's for the right reasons or the wrong reasons, is the latest one from Rob Zombie.
Yes, 31. This is a little bit of a mixed reaction online. This film has. It's very Rob Zombie when you watch it. It's about five carnival workers who get kidnapped and held hostage in an abandoned, sprawling complex set in 1976 on Halloween, the 31st, hence the 31 in the title. Whilst in this complex, they're given numbers, and the rich people who have arranged for their kidnap are taking bets on who will survive. One of them is played by Malcolm McDowell. He's criminally underused in this, unfortunately. But, you know, I'll watch anything with Malcolm McDowell in it, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I'll even watch...
And so will I.
Tank Girl again and again just because he's in it.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've got these people, and they have to survive 12 hours within sight. Now, they are being hunted by various different clowns, always called something Head. So you have Doom, Head, etc., etc. Our first clown is a Nazi Spanish-talking midget who goes after them. And then when they're of no longer use, we get another bunch of clowns coming in, and then another bunch of clowns. So it's not a particularly well-plotted movie. It's like, survive the clowns, kill the clowns, survive the clowns, kill the clowns. It's got some good gruel and some good gore. The editing in this is much more akin to Rob Zombie's first movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, which I love, and I've been waiting for him to make a film that I like since then. I've not really been into anything he's done since Thousand Corpses, and this is the closest I've got to liking something he's done. I think this is much better than Devil's Rejects and much better than Halloween. I disliked immensely his remake of Halloween, and I tried to watch...
Lords of Salem.
Thank you, Rihanna. Lords of Salem. I tried to watch it three times and couldn't do it. It's not the most surprising of movies. You kind of know who's going to survive or who's going to not. Sherry Moon Zombie, his wife, is in it. No surprises whether or not she survives or gets killed. A lot of people are raving about Doomhead in this, and he's quite a psychotic character and quite cool to watch, and they're quite off the chain. Like I say, not a massive plot, not a lot of tension in it, but, you know, it's a good, fun survival horror movie. It's nothing special, but it's the best film Rob Zombie's made in a long time. If you're a Rob Zombie fan, you'll be all over this already, and you'll be loving it. If you thought he'd lost his way, it's worth checking out to see that he's getting back on track.
Now, you may think you see a grease-painted performer sitting before you, but trust me. I'm not here to brighten your dismal day.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Tonight, we are going to play 31.
Is it hunting time now?
It's much better than I thought it was going to be, and I think it will get a repeated viewing. I was ready to hate it. And didn't. So I'm very happy that I didn't. And I'm happy that Rob Zombie is... He was obviously given a much lower budget for this, and he had to make it work, which I think he does much better. I think he was getting too much of a budget and losing what he's good at, which is making a good, low-budget, gory horror movie with some cool central characters and loads of people that you don't mind dying.
And Monster here in Australia felt the need to put out a release about the clown epidemic at the time to play down whether it was seen as though they had some hand in the clown epidemic in Australia and whether it was actually connected to this film. So I found that quite unusual and different as well, because I know that they were responsible for showing the film on its national run, and it went to a lot of places that you don't actually see films like this, I think. So it did go to Perth, it did go to Canberra, did go to Adelaide, it did come to Brisbane. And, you know, sometimes a lot of these films might only be Melbourne, Sydney, if you're lucky. So it was nice to see that a film like this, and I suppose taking up the fact that Rob Zombie is quite popular in Australia, not only for his music, but also for the films that he makes, that they recognise that there would be a fan base there that would want to see this film. So I'm I'm interested that you could love this one, Alex.
I wouldn't go as far as to love, but I did enjoy it much more than I expected to. Yeah, I mean, it's like he's got a massive fan base. Massive fan base. You know, he has become, you know, you see Rob Zombie on a film poster directed by Rob Zombie, you know you're going to get a certain amount of gore and nastiness, and you're going to get at least one or two really, really cool characters within the movie. Thousand Corpses had the whole Firefly family, and again they turned up in Devil's Rejects, but I don't feel that's as good a film as Thousand Corpses. But yeah, in this you've got the whole Doomhead thing, and it wouldn't surprise me if he tries to make an offshoot film with Doomhead, because I think he could carry a movie on his own.
Doomhead meets definitely. Captain Spaulding, perhaps?
Yeah, what a team-up, you know. And what was really surprising in this is that Sherry Moon Zombie keeps her clothes on.
And doesn't play the person on the other side doing the torturing is one of the people being hunted herself.
Being hunted down, yes, which is a bit different. And she's gone back to being a supporting character as part of a group of characters, so her role is much more defined. She's not trying to carry the movie like she did in Lords of Salem, which is where I don't think Lords of Salem worked. But in this, her character works very, very well. And Meg Foster actually is excellent in this.
Alex, your next new release is it an Italian gangster film?
Yes, it is. This is Out on Madman, and this is Suburra. This is quite a stunning gangster movie. I've not seen a good Italian gangster movie for a long, long time. This is directed by Stefano Solima, who directed the entire run of the Gomorrah TV show, which I haven't seen because I wasn't a fan of the movie. But now I know that he's involved with it, I might have to go back and track it down and have a look. Right, this is quite masterful. He's learnt a lot from doing TV shows, because he's crammed as much into a sub 2-hour movie as you would get in a 10 episode season of something. There are characters that come in, they're built up, they're wasted, they're taken out of the story. There's other people that come in, stay. You don't know, you have no idea who's going to survive and who's going to not. Story wise, there's an old headman gangster called Samurai, who's gradually getting people to either surrender their property in the nicest possible way when you're a gangster, or sell their property so that he and a corrupt politician can then transform this stretch of waterfront in Rome into a new Las Vegas. Unfortunately, this all starts to go horribly, horribly wrong when a rival gang, who are not connected to the mafia, get involved with the politician who's helping to push all the land deals through parliament, when one of their lot disposes of a body of a dead teenager that dies after a drug and sex session in a hotel for him. The camera work in this is amazing. The characters are great. Like I said, you don't know who's going to survive and who's not. You don't know what's going to happen plot-wise. And at the end of the film, you feel like you've watched an entire season of an Italian gangster show, but you've only been sitting there for like just under 2 hours watching stuff happen. An incredible, incredible. If you're into gangster movies at all, you really must seek this out.
Tra qualche giorno il tuo partito, il governo, salta tutto per aria.
Vuole inoltrare una richiesta d'arresto, insomma, c'è di mezzo una ragazza morta.
Tu devi fare solo la tua parte, il resto ci penso io.
Il Papa vuole dimettersi.
In cambio mi serve la legge sulle periferie.
Ti servo una mano.
O si diventa come Las Vegas.
Dopo quanto vale questo posto?
Voglio andare a fare una visita su, onorevole.
Bello di quello che hai fatto ammazza.
Well, Alex, funny that you should mention that you felt like you'd watched an entire season of a series, because I believe Netflix is turning this into a TV series next year. So if you did love the movie, you're going to get something more from it.
Oh, well, that'll be fantastic. Oh, no, that's really, really good news. I'm very excited about that.
Alex, Recovery, an interesting film, and one I think that I saw described as Find My Phone the Movie. Is it what I've seen on some of the trailers in terms of comments?
Pretty much. This is out on Bounty Films. This is a cool low-budget stalk and slash movie. we got a girl who's just finishing college. She's at an end of year party, finds out that her boyfriend that she's been posting up pictures on Facebook and Twitter, etc., of them being very much a couple, has decided that he's just going to get off with random people on the night. She makes friends with another girl who says the same thing's happened to her. They decide to go out to a club, go home. Her parents have bought her a new phone. Her brother has installed a load of new apps on it and gets them to take them with him. On the way, they pick up the kind of roguish, slightly alternative guy, you know, that they're not supposed to be seen with, to go to this club. New friend disappears but has got the phone with her, so they activate the recovery app, hence the title of the movie, and go and find her. And, you know, they end up finding out that the phone is in this creepy old house, which has many locked doors, rooms full of surveillance equipment, etc., etc. You know that there's nothing good here. There are women chained up, there are cameras everywhere, and the guys that live in the house have got evil facial hair. So you know they're up to no good. So then it becomes a survival horror movie. So they have to try and get out of the house without getting caught, without being killed, etc., etc.
Your phone is here.
Let's just find my phone and find Kim and get the hell out of here. Oh my God. What the hell are you doing to me?
Nothing original about this at all. But if you've got an hour and a half to spare and you just want to sit down, drift into a movie where you know exactly what's going to happen because you've seen it a million times before, then you can do a lot worse than watching Recovery. Like I say, it's not bad, but it's not great. You know exactly what's going to happen. But, you know, sometimes you want a bit of familiarity to just keep you going through something. You know, you don't want a thought-provoking movie like Suburra or anything like that. You just want, you know, okay, four teenagers, creepy house, bad facial hair. Which one's going to get hit with the hammer first?
Well, I'll be honest. If I saw that my phone had ended up somewhere a bit weird and then I got to the house to see that it was also maybe, well, slightly in darkness, I wouldn't go in.
Yeah, of course you wouldn't. But then you wouldn't go into the attic or the cellar and or the woods or that old creepy cabin, etc., etc., and any other of those movies that are out there.
Well, we go from one group of friends who are trying to recover a phone to four friends on their way to Coachella and a film about a couple, I think, tell me if I'm on totally the wrong path, Alex, but a couple who are a little bit infatuated with going to places where people have died.
Yeah, they go on a cult murder mystery tour of LA on the way to Coachella. I mean, setting a film with like four people on the way to Coachella is like really? They can't go to a decent festival? No. Let's go and see where Charlie Manson lived or whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. But you know, that gives you your very slim plot line. This is, of course, Satanic, again put out by Monster Pictures. Again, not the most original movie in the world. These four teenagers, they find an occult shop, go in, start taking the mickey out of the people in there, going, oh, you're satanic, oh, you've got an inverted cross in your head, and they get chased out. They decide to see if they can follow them after work to see what they're up to. And, of course, they're up to some sort of dodgy satanic ritual, and they think that there's going to be a human sacrifice involved in this, and they kind of stop it, but not really. It's never going to happen anyway. But the girl who was going to be sacrificed ends up meeting them on the streets of LA, and they take her back to their hotel room, start talking to her, and of course she's utterly bonkers. And before they know it, she's killed herself in their hotel room, and they're plunged deep into the world of all things dark and satanic, and are starting being pursued by invisible demons and the such like. Again, good switch your brain off horror movie. Nothing particularly novel about it, but you know, good, low budget. Stars Sarah Hyland from Modern Family. It took me ages to work out who she was. I kind of like the fact that she's in this. She's decided to go from an incredibly successful, starring an incredibly successful TV show to do low-budget, trashy horror movie. That makes me smile that people will do that. Go, right, what can I do that is so out of character and out of my realm of acting that I'm so known for? I know, I'll do a film called Satanic. I'm sure that'll upset people. So, yeah. There's quite a nice little twist in it, some really nice visuals. I really liked what they did on such a low budget. Again, a bowl full of chips and some chocolate and just sit there and just watch for an hour and a bit and just enjoy it.
Alex, one of the new releases you want to talk about had a very quirky trailer to it, and this is actually the trailer, and I just want to play a bit of it. I wasn't entirely sure what to make of this one, Alex.
This will be ah.
And did you run from the screen yelling ah?
Ah, no, I was really interested in this. I've got the guys from the Mighty Boosh in it. It's got pop punk star Toya, who I was a massive fan of as a teenager, in it. Written and directed by Steve Oram, who co-wrote Sightseers, a Ben Wheatley film, and he was in Sightseers. So I was like, wow, this is cool. For all the prog rockers out there, Robert Fripp did the soundtrack because he's married to Toya, so they must have come as a pay. Toya, can you be in this? Can your husband write the soundtrack? Yeah, sure. Apparently this was inspired by a documentary about the hierarchy of gorillas in the wild. So all human speech has been replaced with noises, and all acts have been replaced with more ape-like acts of doing things. So there's lots of throwing stuff around, lots of weeing on stuff, lots of pooing on stuff, lots of just taking what isn't yours because you're the alpha male. So that includes wives, daughters, etc. This does come across as 70s experimental theatre filmed by a bunch of millennials. These are people that didn't have to sit through 70s experimental theatre on TV in the 70s. I didn't get this at all. I've seen reviews of this saying this is the most thought-provoking and wildly comic genius movie that's been made in the last X amount of years. All I saw was people just making monkey noises at each other and it not being much more than that. It's kind of... See, I like weird stuff.
Did a whole segment on what the films, so this would be one that would make it into that, surely.
It would do, but I just found it just utterly pretentious. I just couldn't get past it. It just seems like it's done by people at art college who've gone, you know what? What if our entire society was just behaved like apes? How would that work? And it's kind of, well, it'd be a bit rubbish, really, wouldn't it? But no, someone's made a film about it, and this will split people. There are people that will think this is a work of genius, and people like me will think it's just a bit, and I obviously don't get it.
Well, the film is out through Monster either way, so if it does sound like something that you would enjoy, !! is out now. You just wanted me to do that. I know that's the only reason that was on the list, Alex. And Alex, your final new release for this month is one that contains Christopher Lloyd, of all people, and seems pretty clear that it could start off one way, but actually goes a completely different other way.
Yeah, again, released by Monster. I'm not a serial killer.
John, adolescence can be a difficult time. It's normal to be drawn to death and murder. You can go too far down that road, too far away from normal.
What do you say, John?
I'm interested in how many times you felt it was necessary to say the word normal.
I have rules to keep me normal and to keep everybody else safe.
I think about killing a person and just giving them a compliment.
You are a really great guy.
You're a freak.
You have a lot of predictors for serial killer behavior. But you're in control of your own destiny.
John.
Yeah, Mr. Crowley?
Oh, it's a beautiful day, John. I'm glad you're alive.
Great little movie. Brilliant, yes. Yeah. Set in a small Midwestern town, and our hero, for want of a better word, Max, he's a teen. He's struggling with being a sociopath. He doesn't possess empathy for anyone. He has thoughts of killing people. He's got a fascination with serial killers, which, you know, isn't abnormal in teen boys in a way. His mum is also the local mortician, so he spends his days when he's not at school helping his mum out as an assistant doing autopsies and stuff. His mum is very worried about him. He goes to a therapist, and his therapist I think they're making progress and stuff. Then he realizes that the old guy across the road from him, played by Christopher Lloyd, may not be the nice old man that he kind of makes out he is. He may be something else. And this is when the film turns around and you're kind of going, okay, who's this old guy? What's he doing? And it, you know, you're kind of watching it and you're realizing that, yeah, he's not what he makes out to be. And then when you think you know what he is, he's something completely different entirely as well. Really, really good slow burn movie.
Would you say it has like an indie feel to it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's got a very kind of, it's not claustrophobic, but it's not an exciting movie. You don't kind of go, oh, what's going to happen next? Or it's, like I say, nice, slow burn. And it's really interesting that seeing as Max is a sociopath and he has no feelings for anyone, you start to really kind of attach yourself to him. Yeah, most sociopaths in films, you've got no connection with. But here, you're kind of going, okay, let's see where this is going. And you're wanting him to find out more, and you're wanting him to deal with his social problems, and you're wanting him to be aware of what his surroundings are and what he is and how he can deal with that and how he's going to confront this old guy across the street because he suspects that he might be something that he's not. So, yeah, it's an incredibly well-made film. And yet Christopher Lloyd is fantastic in this. It's like we're so used to seeing Christopher Lloyd playing kind of sort of wacky characters from Taxi through to the Back to the Future movies and being a bit kind of larger than life. In this, he's a very kind of introverted character. But he's still, as the movie progresses, he becomes scarier and scarier and more intense and more terrifying. And you're genuinely frightened for Max and what's going to happen to him because he's finding more and more about this old guy across the street. Very non-Hollywood killer on the loose film. So if there was a category that you'd put this on, it'd be the killer on the loose movie, the serial killer genre, but it's very different from a lot of other of those films, mainly because our central character is a sociopath and you're going with him on his journey into working out what he is and isn't, which is really interesting.
And Alex, have you rewatched anything lately apart from watching a whole heap of new releases?
I haven't rewatched anything lately, but what I have watched and was trying to avoid until people kept watching was John Wick. What an incredible film. I watched it and it's like, I've just watched John Wick. That was amazing. I shall watch John Wick again soon. And then soon after that, I will watch John Wick again.
Wow.
Rhianna Patrick.
Please give it up.
On ABC Local Radio.